Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Bracket is set. The early line is live. It's the Monday morning right here on SportsGrid. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. The field of 68 is upon us. DRS, how was that weekend?
It's really good, man. Had a great time Friday night. The boys were out in AC watching some live Metro Atlantic college basketball. And then we have March Madness yesterday, officially underway. Today also, Kevin, the NFL, the tampering period has begun. Is there a better place to be than right here, right now? I don't know.
And you love to see the tampering period just beginning. Nobody's talked to anybody since. Everything very quiet on the NFL front. Not the case. We will get there. But we, of course, begin with the bracket. The top overall seed is the Alabama Crimson Tide. As when you look at that one line there, not everybody able to bring home a conference tournament championship, but Alabama, who had struggled against the number, lost their last regular season game in SEC play, really handled their business, Donnie, in that SEC tournament and found themselves the top overall seed.
Yeah, when you're very good on offense, very good on defense, play with tempo, can knock down three-point shots, play in a Power 5 conference, survive that late-season malaise where a lot of things were circling around your program here, and now it looks like you deserve to be on the one line, and you do look like the best team in college basketball.
We also, of course, whenever we have the bracket, look at who was in and who was out. Nevada, the last team to get in, according to the committee, was actually Oklahoma State, who was the last team out. But the headline leads Rutgers out because that was the surprising one. Bracketologists, not just Joe Lunardi, but if you take a look at the folks that do this, a massive margin were projecting the Scarlet Knights to crash into the NCAA tournament, and it turns out not going their way. And it was interesting as well, Donnie, that first four out, Oklahoma State just missed it, then Rutgers, and then the third team to just miss out, the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Yeah, no, it's from a New Jersey perspective here. I did think Rutgers should deservedly be in the tournament, but they missed out. But also from a betting perspective, Kevin, here in New Jersey, we can't bet Rutgers, so those games will be off the board. So effectively, if Rutgers made a run to the Sweet 16 or Elite 8, those games would not even be on our board here. So them being out of the tournament as a gambler in New Jersey, I actually don't mind it one bit, but I do think they actually should have been in, Kevin.
Yeah, it does feel like they were hard done by. UNC, though, does become the first number one, preseason number one team to miss the tournament since the field expanded. As disappointing of a season as you will ever see in college basketball. But to the odds, this is still Houston's tournament to lose. Plus 500, and they are the favorites on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Alabama is 8-1, Kansas 10-1, Purdue 12-1. It does just so have it that those are all the number one seeds here in this bracket.
Yeah, and if Houston is going to win a national championship, they better be whole, including having your best player get injured, a groin injury, sat out the conference championship game here. We'll see if he gets healthy, but that's the good thing about it. You don't play that very next day. You got a couple days off. Sasser better be back if they want to win something.
A lot of rumblings around that Marcus Sasser health status there. We will talk about that and how to approach that, of course, throughout the board, in the brackets, and everything alike. As we said, though, it has been a busy weekend, not just in college basketball action. Jalen Ramsey is a Miami Dolphin. A huge trade in the NFL over the weekend as our radio audience joins us here on SiriusXM Channel 159 Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. And DRS, no surprise here. Jalen Ramsey traded to the Dolphins. The return for the Rams looks very underwhelming, even by the standards of people who think that star players command nothing in the trade market here. The real trade-off is the fact that the Dolphins taking essentially all of the money off of the LA Rams' hands.
Yeah, by the way, the Dolphins cooking with grease right now. I mean, this is going to be a pretty exciting season for them if Tua can stay healthy. But I'm pretty sure out there in the Twitter sphere, Kevin, somebody yesterday posted a tweet that goes, oh, man, Dolphins got fleeced in that trade.
That is how stunning the package back was for the Rams, Donnie, that we didn't even really get many of those, like, Rams are starting to really build something here. Like, that's how Hunter Long, like, what that was, that's what we got yesterday based on that trade package there for the Rams. And then the Bucs potentially going to bring in Baker Mayfield to be their quarterback here. I mean, of course, they had to do window dressing and pretend that he's here to compete with Kyle Trask. I'm going to vomit if Baker loses the job to Kyle Trask, cut him, and then also cut Kyle Trask. But a potentially big signing on the way for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, what happened over the past couple weeks here? All I heard was Kyle Trask going to step right in here. We can't wait to get Kyle Trask. The reason why we moved on from Brady, didn't want him anymore, and we're glad he retired, was because of Kyle Trask. Boy, that lasted a long time.
We'll see how that goes. The NBA was, of course, busy over the weekend. I think the big game featured the Golden State Warriors and the Milwaukee Bucks on a Saturday night. And I'm starting to adore this Warriors team. They're hilarious. They win 125-116 over the Bucks. They win in overtime. Steph Curry went wild, 36 points, lit it up in the fourth and OT. Oh, by the way, Donnie, Giannis didn't play. This team is not even remotely a contender. Not even remotely a contender.
And they were home, Kevin. I would have loved to have seen that on the road where they lost. It's a tough one here on the road. We'll kick the can down the road. But Golden State, get ready. Championship.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, if that game was in Milwaukee, they could have sat Giannis, Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Thanasis would have had a triple-double, maybe a quadruple-double. In the golf world, Scottie Scheffler with the Players' Championship. People very excited as he goes 17-under. We started all off breaking down the bracket next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on Sports Grid. Let's start it off with Alabama, the South region. Here we're going to go region by region. We'll hit two inside this opening hour. We'll hit the other two inside hour number two. Of course, it's going to be wall-to-wall coverage here on the early line and across the Sports Grid network up until the first tip-off. And we don't have to wait very long, though. We will have tournament games technically starting tomorrow with the play-in round. We start this off, though, with Alabama. We're not just the top seed in the South, but the number one overall seed in this tournament. It provides them, or it is at least supposed to provide them, the easiest pathway towards making it out of their region and at least keep things comfortable for them and offer them a couple of games locally and make it easy on their fans. What we're trying to figure out, though, is how much confidence we have in Alabama. They are plus 190 to make it out of this region. Donnie, how confident are you in an Alabama team that was certainly hit with a lot of questions that they needed to answer around Brandon Miller and the decision to keep him on the team? They answered those with he's staying and he's playing. Their level of play dipped off for a couple of games, and then they went out and won the SEC tournament.
I'm rising on the tide here. So if we're looking at that one little section, right, where we had the legalities come out, it was South Carolina in overtime, squeezed by Arkansas, squeezed by Auburn in overtime. Then you lose to A&M to end the season. Again, that didn't mean all that much for Alabama because they had already clinched the SEC regular season championship. But my goodness, if you look at three straight days, and that's the ultimate sign of respect, Kevin, because you don't have your legs there. Sometimes you have to grind out victories. And some of these teams do lose because this isn't, hey, we're going to play every 3 days. We're going to get ready and stay healthy. You handle Mississippi State, who's a very good defensive team. You hammer them. You take on Missouri, who's another quality opponent in the SEC. And then they handle your business going back and saying, okay, A&M, you won that last game in the regular season. We're going to come out and hammer you in the conference championship game. That's exactly the way you want to be riding into March Madness. It seems like everything that was swirling around the program is now starting to settle. And also, Kevin, this isn't a team that caught lightning in a bottle. We knew they were good all season long. And look at their final numbers on their metrics. Defensive, number three overall in the country at efficiency. Effective field goal percentage on defense, Kevin, number one overall. You want to defend the three-point shot? Top three in the country. How about inside the arc? Number one in the nation. That's how you win basketball games. This isn't an Alabama team when you look at it. It's like typically, okay, they run tempo. They love to shoot three-point shots. But if the three-point shot isn't falling, they're going to get beat. No, they have shown that if their three-point shot is not falling, they can grind it out and beat you on defense just as easy. I never thought I'd be saying this about 2 weeks ago that, oh my goodness, Alabama? Yeah, legitimate chance now to hang up a banner in the rafters here for national championship.
Look, they have the second best odds. I think it'll be interesting to see how reliant are they going to be on Brandon Miller. All in all, he still is a freshman. Brandon Miller is going to be a lottery pick. But Brandon Miller, will he be able to be consistent enough to get this team all the way to the Final Four? And this is when you then start to try and factor in opponents. You know, we talk as well, Donnie, this, the brackets apply to the futures markets. They'll go hand in hand with one another. I may not put a single 8-9 into the Sweet 16, and I might just have all of the one seeds ultimately in the Sweet 16. That doesn't happen very often. Right? It more often than not, at least one of those number one seeds are going to be upset, Donnie, in the round of 32. Mm-hmm. However, almost never do you see multiple one seeds downed inside the first two rounds of NCAA tournament play. Since 1985, a massive sample size, only three times have we seen multiple one seeds inside the same tournament not make it to the Sweet 16. So when, again, you're trying to fill these things out and they're difficult as is, you want to try to correctly pick the 8-9 coin flip game. The biggest favorite in any of these 8-9 games, Donnie, is minus 150. You want to correctly predict that coin flip and then have them knock off an elite team. I'm not saying that all of these one seeds are perfect. One of them is Purdue. We'll get there, right? We know that they're not perfect, but Alabama, along with a lot of these one seeds, I'm going to look to almost automatically get them into the Sweet 16. And from there, Donnie, what I'm starting to see right away, and even when I take a look at it, there's plenty of people that will have Alabama playing a double-digit seed in that Sweet 16 game here. Charleston's going to be hot against San Diego State in terms of a pick, and people love betting against the Virginia Cavaliers come tournament time.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're just taking a look at Alabama's path there to the championship game, let's just say, and again, you're the number one overall seed. You're supposed to have the easiest path. It's not always the case here, depending on which type of teams that you like and figure the team's matchups. But Alabama, obviously, it looks like they're going to get past the 16th seed, which most of those teams do. Alabama, maybe West Virginia or Maryland should be able to handle their business. But also, if it is, let's just say, a West Virginia, that's a Big 12 team. And that's one of those, you know, conferences that you look at during the regular season saying, my goodness, if you just spread these teams out amongst the other power fives, how would they actually do in other conferences? Would they finish in the top two, top three? Because West Virginia was one of those things. I don't say an afterthought in the Big 12. It's hard to be an afterthought because how good that conference was, but that's going to be an interesting lineup. Most people just see one versus a nine seed if they line up. Oh, Alabama immediately all the way through, but you got to remember how tough the Big 12 actually was. But also, when you're trying to line some of these games up here for Alabama's purposes, you're right. Charleston's going to get a tough shot right out of the gate against San Diego State. It's a shame that Charleston has to go up against San Diego State. Not because you say, like, oh, would you want to go up against Kentucky? Yeah, actually, I would have here. I wanted one of those power five schools that's like, hey, with talent alone, we just beat you. And those are the teams that Charleston can upset. But San Diego State's not going to roll in and go, Charleston, who's Charleston? They're going to take that game seriously. But just to get back to the Alabama perspective, again, defense does travel. If you have tempo, offense, and defense, that's going to win a lot of basketball games here. And how bad does Alabama have to play to actually get upset? Because as I get back to the point, Kevin, they're not just an offensive team. It's not like Baylor, right? Great on offense, terrible on defense. Oh, my goodness, they can't make a shot. Now they can't defend the shot. Alabama has the perfect team to sort of advance because they can push the tempo. They can play defense. They can get hot out of nowhere, which you saw in the SEC tournament where, oh, this game's a little bit close and it's a muck and grind. 5 minutes later, Alabama's got a 15-point lead because they drained four straight three-point shots. They're that dangerous, which is tough because they don't rely on one end of the court, Kevin.
Yeah, and look, you mentioned Baylor. The bottom half of this bracket features four teams inside the top 18 on KenPom, which is Creighton, Baylor, Arizona, and the 10-seed Utah State, who are favored in their matchup against Missouri. When we're talking about a team to fade overall in this conference, I am not even remotely considering the Baylor Bears. I don't know if I'm bold enough to have them losing to UC Santa Barbara, but I've been telling you for a while, Donnie. Listen, I have no interest in a team outside of the top 100 on the defensive side of the basketball making a deep run in this tournament. They have the number two offense, again, on KenPom here, but that defense for me from the Baylor Bears, I will almost assuredly be expecting them to lose in a round of 32 matchup, and anything beyond that would actually be quite surprising for me from Baylor. Is there a team already you can tell you're going to look to fade in this conference or in this region, rather?
Probably, you know, if we're lining it up all together, Kevin, the number four seed here. And I don't know if this is just because I don't like the way the brand of basketball they play is, or they're ultra boring, or my goodness, get them off of my TV screen. It's the Virginia Cavaliers. Now, they're going to line up against Furman, probably win that game, but my goodness, San Diego State is going to match up perfectly against them, toe-to-toe, 55-54 type of game. And it's not to say I can't stand Virginia. I'm just being biased because I don't like their brand of basketball. But it doesn't feel like that upper echelon Virginia team that we've seen in the past with a legitimate chance to cut down the nets. They lose Vander Plas, who's a very good, you know, glue type guy, as you want to say, for the Cavaliers. I just see them having a second round exit here. They're a four seed. I don't think they're going very far. I'll fade Virginia.
I think Charleston, you know, and this is a team that a lot of people were excited to see what kind of draw they would get coming out of the CAA. There are questions, right, about, you know, could Charleston possibly winning 30 basketball games get themselves an at-large? Obviously, they ultimately go and, you know, snag that auto bid from the CAA. Mm-hmm. But with their tempo potentially being a challenge for San Diego State and that same tempo being a challenge for the Virginia Cavaliers, they could get themselves a couple of wins here in this tournament. We continue to spin this thing forward here. Up next, we hit the Midwest region. It's the early line on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get to the Midwest region here, which we're talking about confidence in the number one seeds. This is a very, very important thing to break down here with the Houston Cougars. Were the favorites to win the entire tournament here, plus 500 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. DRS, I think right now, if I take the pulse of people on the Houston Cougars, is a lot lower than where it would have been on Friday afternoon. And that is because of an injury to Marcus Sasser that kept him out of their game against the Memphis Tigers in the American Conference tournament game. And for that, Donnie, I see a lot of people saying, I don't think Houston's going to be able to make it out. And I'm going to be honest with you, Donnie, I think that's a massive mistake. We have already seen reports from reporters, insiders, and alike, as well as comments from Sasser himself saying he expects to play in their opening round game. So right there, positive indication. Now, I know teams would not do this in the tournament, Donnie, but do they need Marcus Sasser to beat Northern Kentucky? Obviously not. Not even a little bit. Honestly, if Sasser is unavailable and against Iowa or Auburn, they do not have Sasser, would they still be favored in the basketball game? Certainly so. Here's my thing. If you like Texas, you like Xavier, you think the U gets hot, all that's fine. But if you believe, I think Texas will beat Houston because Sasser won't play in the game, I think you are absolutely misguided. I would be stunned, Donnie, if Houston is in the Sweet 16 and Marcus Sasser is not playing, then we're being lied to across the board. Which, again, not just by Sasser, not by Sampson, from reporters around the college basketball game here. And you're not seeing a ton of value right now in the market because the market, I think, is aware of this. I think the chatter around the Sasser injury here is more panic than reality.
Yeah, but it should be, though, because when you're taking a look at the overall favorite, when their best player goes down, you're going to be worried about that. And also, when you saw the injury itself happen, it looked pretty bad. And then the fact that he sits out the conference championship game and they got beat in that game, it does send pause. We have to remind ourselves, you know, you're not playing 3 days in a row, Kevin, like it's still the conference tournament. You're off on Sunday, you know, play a game Saturday/Sunday. Then you're going to take a couple days off. You're going to play a Friday or a Saturday. Then you take a day off there. And if you do win those two games, which you'll be favored to win both of those, you're actually getting another 4 days off before the Sweet 16 actually kicks off. But here's the issue, Kevin. It's not so much about the injury, when it happened and how it did and how serious it is. If there is a slight tear to the groin, it's like, hey, man, I feel decent here. That can go at any minute. We talk about the calves. We talked about hamstrings. You talk about all those type of injuries that have a high chance of being re-injured at some point. Also, we're talking about a guard in basketball, Kevin. You know how many cuts you make and lateral cuts you make side to side in an entire game, specifically with Houston that plays pressure defense and really gets after it? There is a slight chance that he re-injures that, and that's going to be devastating. So even if he doesn't play against Northern Kentucky and plays a little bit against Iowa and says, you know, man, I feel great. Here we go. And let's just say I take on, you know, the Miami Hurricanes in the Sweet 16. If he goes down with an injury, Houston is up in smoke. They can't survive that. But it's not fair to actually say that because most teams, when you say their top player goes down in the NCAA tournament, how can they survive it? They can't. I'm just a little bit leery now. Am I taking everything away from Houston as if you're right? They're going to get knocked off by a 16 seed if Sasser doesn't play? No, I'm not. The panic meter isn't there. I'm just saying it doesn't help the equation. But also the betting markets, as you brought up, they don't care. Houston is not, oh, no, they were 5-1. Now they're plus 750 because we're really not sure. 5-1 says they think he's coming back and he's going to be effective sooner than later.
Donnie's plus, they are plus 120 to win their region, right? It's not far off from plus 100, 50-50. Right now, right? Sports great. You know, people love the good bracket pool, right? Yeah. Do you think 50% of brackets are going to have Houston in their Final Four? I don't. It's just you could tell that, and I understand, right? It happened a day before the brackets got announced, right? And so maybe not everybody is you know, heard some of the Sasser comments and things of that nature. Maybe that information people will become more aware of. But Houston is also, Donnie, and I think we would agree on this, it's the kind of team people want a reason to not advance forward. Go. Because they're not Duke, they're not Kansas, they're not Kentucky, right? Oh, Sasser, you know, I mean, my 1-16, here we go, right? I mean, that's the kind of deal with a team like the Houston Cougars.
Yeah, and also, most people have never actually seen Houston play. Now, granted, the hoop heads, everybody who's tuned in, but the people just filling out their brackets, they see Houston if they know, like, hey, by the way, Houston's the overall favorite in the tournament. And then that guy Sasser get hurt. Oh, yeah, he's it. They're out then. You see what I mean? Like, you're trying to over it. Like, this is still without Sasser, a very good basketball team. And they got a pretty good seeding slot here. Northern Kentucky, they should handle. And let's just say they match up against Iowa in the second round. You could get physical against Iowa, beat them up, and move on. So I don't want to downgrade Houston because of Sasser's injury, because if he pops right back up and goes for 18 points against Northern Kentucky, away Houston goes, because quite frankly, they're extremely fun to watch, and they don't care who they match up against, and they probably love the disrespect that they're probably going to get working their way through. But for the people out there, oh, man, Houston, and Sasser's down. Yeah, I'm not going to buy into that. Don't do that to yourself.
Looking out through the rest of this, it's Iowa Auburn in the 8-9, Miami Drake 5-12, Indiana Kent State 4-13. That's the top half of this region. The bottom half there, Iowa State's going to wait the winner of Pitt and Mississippi State in that play-in game. Xavier sees Kennesaw State in a 3-14. Texas A&M Penn State in the 7-10. And then Texas Colgate is your 2-15 here, DRS. Is there a team in this region that you're lining up, though, because maybe you are, and you sound more concerned over Houston than I am. So is there a team in this region that you're starting to circle here and you think could get on a run and crash into the Final Four?
I do think Texas. Now, granted, I mean, we're not taking great leaps like, oh, man, Donnie likes Texas. That's just a wild opinion here. They're the number two seed in the region at this point. So if I'm just looking at, like, pedigree coming down the stretch, I like to see when teams get hot at the end of the season. I like when teams steamroll over maybe better teams perceived here heading into the tournament. And Texas has a lot of that going for them. But having said that here, you look at Texas in their first round against Colgate, and they should be able to handle them just on athletes alone. Colgate's done a very good job there at making the tournament multiple years. But again, there's a reason why the one seed's a two seed and one seed's a 15. But look at round two. Let's just say it is A&M coming out of there. A&M's a pretty good, tough team there from the SEC, but more or less, how about Penn State? Like, I think most people look at Penn State like, yeah, they're a football school and they had a nice little run. But if you look from February 14th, which was Valentine's Day, one loss to Rutgers a few days later, 59-56, and then lost to Purdue at the gun, 67-65, where they had a look at a three-point shot. If they didn't travel, that goes down. They actually beat Purdue. So I don't want to say that they're underseeded for Penn State, but that's one team you got to watch out for, because if they can get by A&M, they're coming in with a lot of moxie going up against Texas here and see if they can move on, which then would face like a Xavier and Iowa State. If you're looking at one of those double-digit seeds for me with a legitimate chance to advance, if you're not feeling Texas, maybe Penn State's that tough, nitty-gritty team here. Maybe they get it done.
Yeah, a lot of people talking about the seeding, and I think this region would maybe be their main example as to some of the questions, right? The field, oh, they got the field right, but the order is questionable. A&M going to an SEC final and being the second team in the regular season and being a seven seed, while the Kentucky Wildcats, who midway through the year were going to have to fire John Calipari, being a six seed, it lends itself to some questions. Teams that could potentially, you know, be dangerous here, people always target the 5-12. This is the thing. And this is where college basketball's, you know, a little different, a little trickier, because even some of the top programs, people are getting familiar with, you know, your important players. Norchad Omier is the leading rebounder for the U, who was injured very early in the game that they played against the Duke Blue Devils in the semifinal game of the ACC tournament. He's their third leading scorer, obviously one of their most important players. If he's unavailable against Drake, that's going to matter. And that's the kind of information that we're going to hopefully be able to have sooner than later. Though knowing college sports, he might dress and then sit there for the first 10 minutes of the game. I mean, who knows, right? So that's one piece. Here's the other thing, Donnie. Kent State has the most impressive loss resume maybe in the history of college basketball. I mean, they played both Houston and Gonzaga for a team coming out of the MAC, and both of those games were within single digits. I think that's incredibly impressive there from Kent State. In fact, all three of their non-conference losses were covers here. So maybe they lose to Indiana, but keep it within a number. That's going to be a team that I'm going to look to get to the window on there, the Golden Flashes.
Yeah, it's great that you bring that up too, because that's a 4-13 battle. And if I'm looking just on pedigree, it's probably going to be Indiana. But the reason I bring up Indiana is, if I'm looking for a bracket or a team to fade out of the Midwest, it's going to be Indiana at this point here. I just don't have any trust. Like, yes, you do have some really good basketball players. You play in a Power 5 conference, but they're going to get a test from Kent State. And let's just say it's Miami or Drake. You might get one of those teams where, okay, we just beat Kent State. And then if Drake upsets Miami, you sort of get a better version for me of Kent State in Drake that can knock down the three-point shot and knock you out. If there's one team in that top five seeding in that Midwest region, it's going to be Indiana is one of those teams I fade. So it's a good look by you on Kent State in the first round. They're going to give Indiana all they can handle.
Yeah, that Kent State team, very, very talented on the defensive side of the basketball. Yep. Though Indiana certainly has their experience with teams that are defense first, playing inside the Big Ten all in all. That's the first two regions down. We still have to get, of course, to the East region and the West region. We will do that in hour number two. We'll reset things at the top of that hour as well. But it was a busy weekend, as expected, of NFL information. You knew there'd be some Rodgers news, quarterback movement overall. But we also saw one of the top cornerbacks in the game make his way to the AFC. And that's where we'll start it off after this break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NFL pops in right here on a Monday, and rightfully so. This is not doing NFL news for the sake of doing NFL news, man. We've got a trade, move the odds. And that's the kind of player that Jalen Ramsey is. That's a massive, massive name, and he's lived up to that name for a number of years now. Part of the Rams' run to the Super Bowl, no doubt about it, and we've seen the Dolphins' odds moves. For me, and I don't know about you, DRS, when I see a move like this, I run to the division odds first. Maybe that's because that's where it's most notable. Miami's still third overall, but down from around that plus 450, 5-1 range, that plus 350. Still with the Jets and the Buffalo Bills in front of them. In order to bring in one of the very best cornerbacks in football in Jalen Ramsey, they gave up a third-round pick and Hunter Long. What they essentially did was they were willing to pay a ton of money to Jalen Ramsey. That was really the asking price here for Jalen. I know you're going to be a fan of what the Dolphins did here, and, well, you absolutely should be.
Yes, and everybody should be if you are a fan of the Dolphins, because the move was what they needed to make. We talk about the salary cap in the NFL, and if you have an owner with deep pockets, which Stephen Ross does have for the Miami Dolphins, cleared out a lot of cap space, you're saying to yourself, like, ooh, they're going to make a move for a quarterback here at this point? Like, no. They're saying, you know what? We need a little bit more help on defense, and that defense has star power after star power after star power. But here's what you get, Kevin. A top five cornerback in the NFL. Now, granted, he was in L.A. having a good time, won a Super Bowl, getting paid a lot of money. But sometimes, as you know, superstars get a little bit surly here. And you saw from Twitter yesterday where Ramsey was saying, man, I prayed like for an entire month that somehow I would wind up on the Miami Dolphins, and here I am. You saw the tweets come out there of how excited he is to be in Miami. And that says something. Because when you get a superstar player excited to be in an institution, should I say, or a professional organization where you want to be, and now you know the expectation set. Because this wasn't one of those, hey, man, I just wanted to get out of L.A. I wound up on the Arizona Cardinals. I'm excited to be here. Like, no, he's going back to the state where he played college football. He's going to South Beach. He's got a bunch of dogs with him on defense. Vic Fangio running a similar defensive scheme to what he ran out for the Rams. What a home run by the Miami Dolphins. Because if it does anything, it ramps up expectations on that defense, and rightfully so. Takes a little bit less pressure off Tua Tagovailoa and that dominant offense that you have with those weapons at wide receiver. Love the move. There is absolutely no downside to what the Miami Dolphins did. And I bet a lot of teams out there, whether you're a fan or not, go, why did my team pick up the phone? A third rounder for Jalen Ramsey. Well, also, you have to have the stars' blessing as well. Because as I said, if you're just shipping him off to Arizona where he doesn't want to go, that doesn't work out. Because you know what that leads to? Well, you know what? Not only do I want my money guaranteed, I want another 2 years tacked on at $25 million per, and then we get after it. He goes to Miami, gets his base converted, and all his guarantees now for 2 years, you're going to get the best of Jalen Ramsey next year for the Dolphins.
And look, all in all, for the Miami Dolphins, there is something about, you know, giving yourselves a real chance at this. I think at times, you know, it's difficult to navigate, Donnie, the waters of a difficult division, a difficult conference, right? We at times question when the idea was Brady was going to go to Vegas or Rodgers was going to go to Vegas. Why? Like, do you know how tough that is, right? But it was their decision. The Raiders should be interested in, you know, bringing in quarterbacks, right, if they want to be competitive. If we didn't, when the Broncos brought in Russell Wilson, we didn't go, what are you doing? What are you trying to win football games? What are you doing here? The Dolphins, yeah, they're in a really good division, Donnie, and they know that the Buffalo Bills are going to be really good. And they know that the New York Jets are looking to bring in a new quarterback. So what should they do? Trade Tyreek Hill. Sell Jalen Waddle off. Start Skylar Thompson for 17 games. No, these are the kind of moves that you have to make here, right? Miami Dolphins want to be back to the playoffs next season. And we know the AFC is difficult, so this is the kind of move that is required to be made. You know, you've not committed yourself full boat long-term to Tua Tagovailoa yet. So you still probably have the flexibility to make a move like this. And again, you didn't have to sell off a wild amount of assets. You know, whenever a trade like this happens, this is something that, you know, Donnie and I see absolutely eye to eye on. Star players get traded in this league all the time for way less than what Donnie and I would actually think they would be going for. And usually, as we applaud the team bringing in the star, there's a lot of people out there that applaud the team trading away the star. This trade, yeah, nobody was out there bringing up a Hunter Long athletic profile or something like that to let you know what the Rams have done. Every tweet Donnie was, oh, man, I mean, the Rams must have got off a ton of money here if this is the trade compensation, right? And it was. It was a lot of money but that's what it was. Just money, right? And what have we seen? You can make money work in this league. You can figure it out. That's the reality of it. By the way, hint, Lamar Jackson, you can make money work, NFL teams, because Lamar Jackson is still out there and available. So then let's bring in the Rodgers side of this, Donnie, because it all correlates with the AFC East. And as we get more substantial news on this is when we'll give this the full time it deserves. But here's the deal. They've basically now reported the parameters of the deal are in place. Rodgers is a Jet and is now just a matter of when he wants to let everybody know that he has decided to join the Jets, despite the fact that the Jets have already traded for him and the Packers have already told him, you can go.
I want to say the word that is coming to mind, buffoonery here with this whole situation with Aaron Rodgers and how it, you know, came about from the end of the regular season until right now. If this doesn't give you a little bit of pause, and I'm not saying it's not going to work out, Kevin, because you're going to get Aaron Rodgers, which is an upgrade over what you had at quarterback, Mike White, Zach Wilson, whoever you brought in. And rightfully so, the Jets should be excited. But you have to think to yourself, from a locker room perspective, if things don't go your way, this was never a move that said, hey, you know what? It's the end of the season. Let me take 2 or 3 weeks to think about it. Jets seem like a wonderful spot here. That's where I'd like to go. Let's work out the details and let me get started right away. We have to keep ourselves in mind too, because I want to believe that everything behind the scenes is sewed up here. But what happens if it's not? What happens if he's still honestly like, hey, you know what? I'm teetering on both of this. Well, as we know, the tampering cycle begins at noon today. The Jets would have loved to have an answer. Maybe they got it already, that if he is definitely going to be a Jet, you can now operate and say, okay, this is how much it's going to cost. This is how much we can afford. Let's go out and tamper with some of these free agents. Let's bring in some extra weaponry for when you get here. I just don't understand it. But honestly, if you are so caught up in your own personal business, and we're talking about Aaron Rodgers here, that you're like, you know what? I can't have you guys release this, even though I made my decision 6 days ago. I want to hit a couple podcasts here because I want the world to listen to me and tune in to see where I'm actually going. I mean, just think about that for a second. And I'm not saying you have to do it one way or another, but don't you want to ingratiate yourself to teammates here? Get on the way. Hey, man, I'm all in. Let's go. I cannot wait to get there. And it seems like, hey, look, I'll get there when I get there. It's more important for me to take these 2 months and appear on a Tuesday podcast, a Wednesday podcast, a Thursday podcast, go into dark basements here, reemerge with no answers. When I told you before I go in, I might have some answers coming out. It just leaves a bad taste in my mouth here with Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets. Is he all in, or is he just all in because maybe he can start a podcast in New York and he'll get more numbers because he's in New York, and that's why he wants to go to the Jets?
Yeah, again, I hear... I really can't knock you for your frustrations or questions around Rodgers because he's leaving us so much time here to question things, Donnie, that shouldn't be questioned. Came on here a week ago, said Rodgers to the Jets is a done deal. Not from I have sources that have told me. I'm just looking. I see what's going on here. I can see what's going on. And that's been the case, by the way, right? That's been the case. It's just now a matter of whether Rodgers wants to accept it. By the way, every report suggests the alternative is Aaron Rodgers retires. Like, we're not going to come on this show and then talk about, hey, man, Aaron Rodgers is actually going to the back to Green Bay. Or, hey, man, Aaron Rodgers has added 3-4 teams to the list. We're going to come on here and be like, oh, Aaron Rodgers isn't a Jet because his career is over. Donnie, what do you think about the player that was Aaron Rodgers? Like, that's the conversation we'll have then instead, which will be wild. There's other things that I want to get to. The Bucs are eyeing Baker. As I said, right? News comes out, Donnie. I run to the divisional odds. FanDuel Sportsbook, they don't like Baker Mayfield. Bucs plus 500, dead last. in the NFC South. I know Lavonte David said he's kicking around. Listen, maybe I still have a higher outlook on Baker Mayfield than some. But there are pieces there on that football team that if you bring in a competent quarterback, they should not be 5-1 to win the NFC South.
Somebody might know something, Kevin, that we don't know, because when you take a look at, like you said, the wide receivers, like, they ain't going to want to stick around with Kyle Trask. They said, well, how about if we at least bring in a gunslinger for it that has the arm strength and the moxie where if you're triple covered, he still will try to throw you the football. Mike Evans, ears, whoa. Trade me, man. You're going to throw me the ball in triple coverage. I'll take that. Godwin had a bonus that was converted already for the season. Now, it's really not good business practice to give somebody like $15 million, then trade him for a third-round pick a little bit later in the offseason. So it looks like they're going to have some weapons back, and I think your perspective is right here. We're not trying to say Baker Mayfield goes to the Buccaneers and they're the favorite in the division regardless of what happens, but it is a little disrespectful to say, well, Atlanta's going to be the favorite because of why? Desmond Ridder? The Panthers are going to be the favorite. Oh, man, you know what? They're going to trade up and get a rookie quarterback at one. So that's why they're plus 270. And the New Orleans Saints, look, I like Carr. I think they're the most talented team, and rightfully so, being the favorite. But I do think it's interesting. Is anybody surprised? If, let's just say, Baker Mayfield does go to the Bucs, and late in October, the Bucs are 4-3, that should put you maybe in first place in that division at that point. So unless it's a complete bottom out where everybody gets traded in the draft for Tampa Bay, I do think it is a little bit disrespectful at 5-1, because if it's Kyle Trask, I'm sort of out on that team altogether. I don't care what the price is. But if you get Baker Mayfield, at least you know you're going to be in ball games, right? And the wide receivers won't be throwing their helmets into the fourth row by the second quarter because Kyle Trask can't play. I can't believe you left me here. Trade me out of here immediately.
Let me just hit on something quickly. On the off chance, or maybe on the real chance, that folks who turn into the early line only get all of their sports information from this exact program. And you just heard Donnie said the Panthers are going to draft a quarterback at number one overall. They did on Friday afternoon trade up to the first overall pick and move on from 9-1 with the Chicago Bears. And what that did was put C.J. Stroud at minus 300 to go first overall.
Yeah.
As I had been saying, the Bryce Young number was always a bit strange when the team that had first overall was never picking Bryce Young because they had to trade out and we didn't know who was going to come up and who they liked. Shout out to the Panthers, though, for getting the first pick and immediately leaking they were looking to trade back. That is such good business, Donnie. I couldn't be more of a fan of it.
Get a better haul than the Bears. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm really, really hoping for. Look, there's one more NFL thing I want to get to. I was going to rip through it. We'll add it in with the rest of the stuff because I'm actually very, very excited to see Donnie's reaction to this. So then, yeah, just again, in case people did not know, the Panthers do have the first overall pick in the NFL draft. And also that now apparently means the Colts might have to be in on Lamar Jackson because now they're worried about not getting a quarterback, even though they were always at four. Did they not call the Chicago Bears themselves? Did they not know the Bears were trading the pick? The Colts rule. We've got a lot still coming up as we close out the opening hour.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, little weekend roundup here, some house cleaning. The women's bracket has been announced. South Carolina, who's unbeaten, are the favorites at minus 165. Think about that. Houston's 5-1. We've not played any tournament games yet. South Carolina's minus 165. The anticipation is that they will be dominant. We also saw Scottie Scheffler win the Players and went 17 under. A great performance from him, the world's number one. And by the way, the Oscars were yesterday as well. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once was dominant, won themselves Best Picture. All good stuff. And I could absolutely ask Donnie to comment on any of those things. Sure. But I don't care as much as Donnie's comment on this next thing, quite frankly, because he'll turn the rest of those all into a joke. DRS, Odell Beckham Jr. had his workout. Now, I heard the workout went well, but I don't know if the workout went this well, because Odell reportedly is seeking $20 million per year for whichever team is going to sign him. your thoughts?
I heard that that story was debunked, but now the more I think about it, it honestly sounds right here. I don't know what the value is for Odell Beckham, but there were suitors for him late last year when he couldn't even run. Like, hey, let's work something out here. If it works out in our direction, you're healthy in the offseason, we'll ramp it up and get you paid. No. You know what? I want to come to your team talking about the Dallas Cowboys. I don't even want to play in the regular season. And you'll be lucky if I even play in a playoff game if you get there. But I do want maximum pay. Like, I mean, that's not happening here. So then you go into the offseason with much more suitors in a terrible free agent class overall. You hold a highlight reel out there, some guys throwing you the football. You still don't catch the ball with two hands, and then you want $20 million. It was no surprise that he didn't come out of there with six offers on the table, and everybody scoffed at the $20 million. Odell, sign with the team, get a one-year deal, play well, and then turn that into a multi-year deal. It's not that hard.
I think there will be plenty of teams interested in Odell if that $20 million thing is real. I saw someone say they can do it in incentives. Yeah, sure, fine, right? But
yeah,
you have to get someone to agree to do it in incentives, right? Yeah, like putting in you being a 1,000-yard wide receiver is a great incentive, but Odell would like, I'm sure, wants the bag secured. He doesn't have to worry about those things. We'll see how it plays out. We reset it all. It's hour number two coming up.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.